place of praise once again. For truly you have navigated our niches. You saw fit, Lord, to bless us and allow us this moment of worship and word. Father, we know that Satan is busy, but Lord, you are God. Besides thee, there's none other. And we're here, Father, to give you the worship and praise you deserve. For you deserve all the glory, majesty, and power. Father, we call on your name because at your name every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess because you are Lord. Father, every good and perfect gift comes from you. You're above all, and all is beneath you. And we thank you for looking up on us from heaven's way. Father, we thank you for what has transpired already, and everything that has taken place, Father, is to lead up unto you and your word. Father, speak and we will hear. Speak, Father, and we will do. Because we don't want to be foolish hearers. But Father, we want to be wise. And we are wise when we hear and do your word. Father, as the rain and snow falls from heaven, watereth the earth, give bread to the eater and seed to the sower. So shall you, Father, give us your word, and your word will not return unto you empty-handed. Souls will be saved. Saints will be restored. Father, the backslidden will be restored and revived. The unchurched will be churched for your glory and our good. Father, there are expectations that exist in this sanctuary. We didn't dress up and come for naught. Have your way in this place, that we'll be better than we were when we came. As always, we ask you to forgive us of our sins and our sinfulness. Father, that we'll be fit vessels to be used by you. Cancel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, that nothing will hinder your word and your worship today. Give us connection. Pulpit pew. Pulpit with the virtual audience. Lord, that your word will be received. And we would be made the better. In Jesus' name. And every heart say amen. What a wonderful day it is to be alive. The Lord has blessed us beyond enumeration. Certainly, it is good to be alive, alert, and active. Paul set us straight when he said to the believers, or the people, excuse me, on Mars Hill, it is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. Where we are, he brought us. What we have, he gave it to us. What we know he taught us. It's just good to be alive. It's good to be alive and know it. It's good to be in the house of the Lord once again. There are many other places we could have been, but the Lord has blessed us and allowed us the privilege of being here and to participate in the worship experience. Certainly thank God for these preachers, these voices of God, in the person of Reverend Van, Reverend McCoy, and Reverend Mims. Thank God for the deaconess, the deacon wives, and the minister wives for devoting our hearts this morning to worship. Thank God for this male chorus that has sung so melodiously and blessed us and have so diligently reminded us of the goodness of God. Thank God for these musicians. Thank God for the Environmental Safety Committee, the media ministry. Thank God for all of you. Amen. Amen. It's just good for us to be here. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I want to express gratitude and appreciation for your expressions of appreciation, love, and support on last Sunday for my family and I. We are enamored by your hospitality and your generosity. Listen, God has blessed you because you have a heart to bless. And I want to encourage you to enlarge your hearts as we would preach today. We are never at a place where we are to be satisfied with our level of loving. Amen. And listen, God blesses us to be a blessing. Everything that God gives to us is not for us. He wants to get some of it through us. Amen. So I appreciate you for blessing me to be a blessing. That's what God would have us to do. Let us not forget about our giving in regards to those who were affected by the tornado that touched down in both Center Point and Fultondale. Amen. Listen, a lot of natural disasters are going on in the land, and it's requiring that we extend a hand out, our hand out. God has healed and helped and sheltered and shielded us from many things that could have come our way. And I believe that he has done that because he wants us to be a blessing. Next Sunday is our last Sunday in terms of giving toward the Fultondale project. Amen. So if you're not, if you have not already made your contribution to that, please do that. And I'm sorry that I don't have a tally. It's because of the inclement weather on last week that we had persons out of the office, and then our finance team could not count on Monday, and so that threw everything off. So next Sunday I will give you a total of what we have raised all the way up until next Friday or so, okay? And again, if you have not already, please do that so that we can be a blessing to the people there in Fultondale and Center Point. It's so good to see Deacon Lee. Stand, brother. Amen. God has blessed him, and I brought him back and returned him to us. And it's also good to see Miss Bruce. I was going to call her Birch, but Miss Bruce, come on, baby. Amen. Amen. God has blessed her and returned her unto us. And it's always good to see the Vans. God has blessed them and returned them unto us. Amen. Amen. And there are so many that God has healed of COVID and various illnesses and returned unto us. Listen, I'm hanging on to what the Lord told me in Mark chapter 5. He said there was a woman with an issue, and she had money. And just to show you that money can't heal you.
She tried
to buy a healing. She went to doctor, from doctor to doctor. And the Bible says she grew worse. But she heard about Jesus. He was coming through the town. And she didn't just hear about Jesus. She pressed her way. Now the picture is this. She got down on her knees and her hands and crawled through the crowd. See, some of us are not that desperate. She crawled through the crowd and touched the hem. It's enough medicine in the hem of him than all of the drugstores in the land. He told me to tell you that if I would bring you to him, if you so happen to catch COVID, he would heal you. That's why we are in worship. He convicted my heart. Bring him to me. And I'm able to do what no doctor, what no medicine in the earth is able to do. So that's why we're here in worship. So I want to encourage you to press your way through all of the problems, the pain, the pandemic, to the hem, because the cure is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I believe it. Listen, thank you for your condolences. We lost an uncle on last week to the snow and ice storm in Starkville. Listen, that's a part of life. My father died in 2005. And I had preachers to say to me, man, how is it that you are able to preach your father's funeral? I said, it's the same way I coach people through theirs. If I believe it'll work for you, I ought to believe that it'll work for me. All of us have loved ones to die and pass away. And I'm not minimizing it by any means, but the God that sees you through is the same God that sees me through. I preach it because I believe it. That's why I preach. I preach the gospel because I believe in the power of the gospel. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't deal with all of the headache and all of the heartache of preaching. I believe it. And so, listen, God is keeping all of us. As things are coming about in our lives and as we're dealing with hardships and hurts, look unto him. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Because that's not just a reality for some people. It's a reality for all of us. One day, our heads will be cold, and our heads will press a dying pillow. And our bed will be made for one last time. And it won't be the bed we now sleep in, but it will be a smaller square rectangular box that will be lowered down with the words, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, looking for the general resurrection in the last days. So what we are doing is real. Okay? And so I appreciate your prayers, and keep praying for us as we pray for each other. Remember all of those who have lost loved ones, members of our church. I got a call on the other day, and I asked that you pray for Reverend Lee Walker. His son lost his wife on last week, and they have 10 children. She was 30, plus years of age. And I told him, you know, I don't deny the hurt and the healing that needs to take place, but we are praying for him. And my purpose of telling you is that you pray for him. Pray for Sister Thomas. They funeralized their father on yesterday. Pray for Sister McIntosh. They funeralized her husband on last Monday. And so a lot of services going on, and you may know of others that have been funeralized within the last week or so. Pray for them. It's a part of life. Listen, the moment we step out of earth, we step spiritually into eternity. Paul says the change is faster than a moment, the twinkling of an eye. It's just that fast. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak but he is strong. Yes, can you claim it this morning? Yes. Can you claim it? Yes. For the Bible. Come on, say that again. Yes. Come on. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes. How do you know? For the Bible tells me so. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all saints. Look at someone, if you will, and say, abounding in Christ, abounding in Christian love. Amen. People often confuse infatuation, physical attraction, intimate sexual relations with agape love. Infatuation is not agape. Affection is not agape. Sexual passion is not agape. Eros is not the type of love that Paul refers to in this epistle. Paul, in this particular pericope of this epistle, was praying for the believers at Thessalonica to increase in agape love. Paul, Silas, and Timothy were first to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ at Thessalonica. Their preaching and teaching of Christ led many Jews and Gentiles to faith and fellowship of Jesus Christ. Quickly, after their preaching and teaching had been received by Jews and Gentiles, there were some Jewish unconverted men who stirred the people up against Paul, Silas, and Timothy and caused them persecution. And they encountered violent danger at Thessalonica. It is Paul who admits to the suffering that he experienced as a believer of Christ and declarer of the truth. Verses 3 through 5, he reminded the believers at Thessalonica of his time of suffering. Let me pause parenthetically to say to us that times of suffering can be times of selfishness. We can choose to be either selfish or spiritual in our times of suffering. Paul, he wanted them to know that times of suffering can be, don't have to be, but can be times of selfishness. But that's not Paul's prayer for the believers at Thessalonica, because he admits that they were suffering persecution because of their faith in Christ Jesus, but he wanted them to understand that times of suffering can be times that permits spiritual growth, that we are to grow when God allows suffering to come our way. See, trouble, pains, and problems can cause you to become mean and miserable. And in the midst of your misery and meanness, instead of you getting better, you can get bitter. But Paul said it is not for us to get bitter when we go through sorrows and troubles, when we suffer for the sake of Christ. It's an opportunity that God allows us to grow spiritually. James, the brother of our Christ, he tells us to count it all joy when we face temptations and trials of different sorts, that's multicolored, if you will. He says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. He says, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and patience shall have her perfect work. Paul, he was praying for the believers at Thessalonica to get better instead of bitter. He says, use this season of hardship and suffering as a means to grow spiritually. For they had been resisted and they had been run out of town. And Paul, now he looks back at the believers in mind and he writes them to encourage them that they, as new believers facing trials, were to give heed to the instructions concerning godly living. Don't give up on God because times are so hellish. Don't give up on God because times are hard. Don't give up on God, because this is something I want you to understand, that God will never give up on you. Don't give up on godly living because Satan is busy in this season. He wanted to encourage them to hang on to godly living. He also wrote to assure them of the future state of believers who had died before the return of Christ. He says it's all well, that they will be raptured and they will spend eternity with Jesus Christ when he comes again. Here it is in chapter 3, verse 12. Paul prays for the new converts at Thessalonica. Notice in verse 12, he prayed for their love. He prayed for their love, their souls. This is not a materialistic prayer. This is a prayer of maturity. He prays for their love, their soul. Notice what he said in verse 12. He says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Paul said, "The Lord make you." May the Lord make you to increase and abound. Interesting is the fact that Paul uses the Greek word twice in speaking two different words. He said, "May the Lord make you." The word "make" means in Greek increase. May the Lord increase you to increase and abound in love one toward another. So the word "make" and "increase" is the same Greek word that Paul uses to say to them, "I'm praying that God increases you to increase and abound in love one toward another." He's praying for the believers at Thessalonica to become more and more enlarged in heart. Look at somebody, if you will, and help me preach and say, "You need an enlarged heart." Yeah, you need an enlarged heart, not physically, but when it comes to spirituality, when it comes to spiritual space in your heart, you need an enlarged heart. Some of our hearts are too small. We have maxed out in love. We don't feel the need to grow in our hearts when it comes to this love of God. We have small hearts. Our hearts are so small that we don't love as we should. No, we don't love as we should. We don't love in our conversation. We don't love in our conduct. We have already maxed out. We have drawn lines in the sand, and we say within ourselves, "This is far as I'm willing to go with the person that I'm saying I'm loving." We need enlarged hearts. We need more space for the love of God. Some of us have run out of space in our homes. And we add on, we finance additions, because the house has gotten too small. Spiritually, that's how some of our hearts look. We hadn't added any space to our hearts since we've been saved. And what God wants to do through you, he can't do because you don't have the heart space. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. You've been loving the way you've been loving since you first got saved. You hadn't increased anywhere. You hadn't abound anywhere in your heart because your heart is too cluttered. You know, there's a thing called decluttering. Your heart is so cluttered by the hurts that you have experienced. The things that has happened in your life, you have all of that in your heart. Now you have no heart space for the love of God. You don't love, so you can't be loved because you got too much clutter. Paul says, I pray that the Lord increase you to increase and abound in your love one toward another. Listen, I feel this in my spirit. Some of you brought some from home this morning that's hindering you from loving. You brought it with you. Matter of fact, everywhere you go, it's with you. And it's hindering you from loving people as you should. Maybe it was a childhood experience. Maybe it was something in the realm of parental involvement. Maybe you were bullied. But whatever it is, it's taking up too much space in your heart, space that God wants for his love. You hanging on to it. And you're cluttered. Paul says, I'm praying for you that the Lord will increase the space in your heart so that you will increase and abound in love one to another and to all men. Several things Paul says to us here from verse 12 and 13. First of all, if you're going to abound in love, the abounding love of God is in Christ. Come here. Love is not an innate, inborn characteristic of mankind. The truth is, we were born selfish. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. Just put a few children together and put their toys in the midst of them, and they will fight over the toys without even being instructed on how to fight over toys because they have a selfish nature. See, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into your heart, what he came to do is to deliver you from your selfish nature. That's why as a Christian, you can't make life about what you want. Because that selfishness, you make life too small and narrow when you make life about what you want. God came. He sent his son into the world to deliver you from selfishness. Love is not an inborn, innate characteristic of mankind without the rebirth. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He came into your heart spiritually, and He gave you the essence of God. See, the essence of God, according to Scripture, is love. The Bible says God is. Didn't say we're love. He said God is love in 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. And He says that if you are loving, then you know God. But if there is no love in you, you know not God. Don't you know you can be dressed up, cologne and perfumed up, sharp as a razor, and have no love? See, love is not predicated upon how you look on the outside. It's how God has worked on you on the inside. And see, you can't tell what God has done on the inside of a person right off. What you need to do is study and look into the lives of people for a while before you hook up with them. Some of you can be a witness right now. The reason you catching so much hell in your house is because you went on how he looked and how she looked instead of looking at their heart. Let me prove my posture. You remember when Samuel went down to Jesse's house to anoint the next king, and Jesse had some good, strong, stout boys in that house, and little wee David was out there in the field tending to his father's sheep. And Jesse paraded all of his boys before Samuel that was in the house while David was out there in the field. And Samuel said, surely the Lord has favored one of them. And God said, no, I hadn't favored one of them, because man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. He looks on the inside, and he works on the inside. That this love that I'm preaching about is in Christ. And if a person is not in Christ, they can't love you right. They can't love you right. He says, this love is in Christ. Listen, as a boy, you know, I thought I loved my parents, but I didn't know what love was, because everything they said, I did just the opposite. Amen, lights. Let me hear you say, I went through that stage too. Everything they said, I rebelled against it. I said, well, they just don't want me to have fun. They just don't want me to do this. They just don't want me to do that. And so I gave all kinds of spiels why I shouldn't do what they said. My problem was, I had a flawed perception of what love is. And as I grew older and life experiences came about, I discovered that they did love me. It just took me some time to catch up with what love is. It doesn't start in man. It goes beyond man. And it's in the Lord Jesus Christ that once we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us the essence of God. And he puts it on the inside of us. Listen, you think I'm something now. You should have saw me when I wasn't saved. You think you're dealing with somebody now. Boy, if they some now, can you imagine what they were before they got saved? There's a change that has come about. And God has made the change on the inside. He has enlarged our hearts so we have more heart space for his love. Paul was praying for them to increase, that God would increase the love. But not only is abounding love in the Lord Jesus Christ, but abounding love is to be shared among Christian believers. He says that the love will flow from one believer to another. Now, the love that he's speaking about is agape. He wants God's love to flow in and through believers to one another. Now, love that flows springs from the love of God. And the Lord taught his disciples how to love one another in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And he says that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciple, if you have love one for another. First of all, he deals with it as a command. He's not suggesting. Most of us, when we read the Bible, we say God is suggesting. He's never into suggesting. He's into commanding. Because he's God. He says, a new commandment I give you. This is not something you do if you want to or not. If you're a child of God, this is something you must do. That you have to love. And he says, if you love one another, by this. Now, here it is. You have some denomination that say, you know, the evidence of your salvation is speaking in tongues. Now, the evidence of your salvation and the evidence of God being in your heart, Jesus Christ being in your heart, is love. Jesus himself said, by this shall all men know you are my disciple. You belong to me. You are my follower. You are my student. You are my pupil. He says, by this. This being love. The love that you have one for another. It's a command. Jesus said in John 15, 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. Paul in Romans chapter 12 verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate one toward another with brotherly love, in honoring, preferring one another. Here it is. The problem we have with the command is that the command doesn't put us first. See, you first is selfishness. As Christians, he calls for us to sacrifice self for the sake of another. The problem we have with loving is we want it first before we give it. But it's the other way around. He wants us to give it before we receive it. He says, preferring one another. That you have to see the need and look into the life of someone else to apply your love to their situation. We're in our own way. The reason we're not as loving as we should be is because we want to prefer ourselves first. Listen to us. Listen to us as reasons to drop out of relationships, friendship. Listen to us. Well, he doesn't make me happy. I don't feel the love. Things are not the way they used to be. And we just go on and on as reasons to dissolve and destroy relationship, friendships, and fellowships. Because we're so busy preferring self. I'm preaching, Ben, you're saying amen. That we don't even look at the needs of the other. See, listen, in a relationship and in a friendship and in fellowships, listen, we are to constantly look at someone else to see how we can give ourselves to those people to benefit them instead of being benefited by them. When was the last time you gave yourself to somebody? I'm trying to let y'all catch up with me. When was the last time you didn't make it about you? Arguing over remote control. I want to watch my show. Arguing about your seat. Arguing and fussing about closet space. Arguing and fussing about, you know, how much space in the bed. You always over here on my side. Oh, that bed over there. Why you have to always use my brush? You leave all that hair in my brush. We make everything about ourselves. And we don't even look at anyone else to see how we can benefit them. Because we make it so much about ourselves. And we cut off the love of God because the love of God is not selfish. Let me see, can I improve my posture? Go with me to 1 Corinthians 13. Same word, agape. And in verse 4, before we read it, I want you to say, Lord, I want to love like this. I want to love like Paul is talking about love in 1 Corinthians 13. I didn't hear y'all now. Well, let me read it first, Pastor. Notice what it says. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own or his own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. It does not sit around in a clutter of conversation and brag about iniquity. It does not rejoice, or it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endure all things. It never fail. But whether there be prophecies, preaching, there they shall fail. There will be a time where there will be no need of preaching anymore, and that's when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. There will be no preaching in heaven, because you don't have unsaved folk in heaven. Y'all still with me? He says, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, because Lord will give us one language in heaven. Won't need an interpretation or interpreter in heaven. He says, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away, because we shall know as he knows. So all that he's talking about is things that concern us in earth, that gets in the way and hinders love. And he says, love is not self-seeking. So he says, give it away. Don't you know, to love, there has to be a recipient? Because if you say, I'm loving, then I can ask, who or what? There has to be a recipient. You have to give it away. He says, love the brethren. Love all men. What I'm trying to get out of this. He says, love all men. Even unsaved, unlovable men, people who seem unlovable. He says, love them too. Jesus says that we are to love our enemies. See, it's easier to love people who loves you. But he gives us a deeper assignment when it comes to love and giving it away. He said, love the people who don't love you back. Love people who don't even like you. Love them who lying on you. He said, love them who's putting you down, who's scandalizing your name. He said, love them who's slapping you on your face. Love them who imposes weighty loads on you to carry a mile. He said, love them enough to go another mile. Says love. Love them, because that's what the Lord has done for us. My soul didn't got happy. He says, love them like God loved us. Y'all know my passage is Ephesians 5:8. That God commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us enough to go all the way. And that's what love will do. It's not some of the way, but it goes all the way. That's what Jesus did. He came down out of glory, walked the dusty streets of Palestine. He healed the sick, raised the dead, opened the eyes of the blind, unstopped deaf ears, fed hungry multitudes. But even in his kindness and love toward them, they hated him. But he didn't stop in what he did for them prior to Calvary. Because
because he knew he had to go all the way. That's what love will do. Love will go all the way. It doesn't go some of the way, but it goes all the way. It took him from the dusty streets of Palestine to a hill called Calvary. That's love going all of the way. Love let him nail his hands and rivet his feet. Love let him put a crown of thorns up on his head. Love let him hung him between two thieves, one on his right and one on his left. Love made him stay on the cross, and it was love that caused him to drop his head in the locks of his shoulders. He died on the cross of Calvary because God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, not only did Christ hang on the cross, but he died for us. I thank God for the love of Jesus. His love that went all the way. It went from the hill of Calvary to the grave of Arimathea. He went from the cross on Calvary to a borrowed grave. But he went from the grave to resurrection morning. He went from resurrection morning to that day he was ascended on high. It'll go all the way. And if you're loving like you're loving God, you got to quit being so short-fused when it comes to your love for people. You got to love them all the way. Love them when they're lying on you. Love them when they're mistreating you. Love them when they're talking about you. Love them when they're digging ditches for you. Love them when they're trying to cause your demise. Because God loved us when we didn't love him. And we have to love them when they don't love us. And if you love God and you love people, the Bible said one of these glad mornings, when this life is over, you're going to fly away to be at yonder's rest. You're going to see the Lord Jesus for who he is and thank him for what he has done. Is there anybody here? Thank God for the love of Jesus. You ought to look at somebody and tell them, I'm going to hang on to my love for you. I'm going to hang on to my love for the people that are in the world. I'm going to hang on until the end, because that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. One of these old days, he's going to crack the eastern sky. He's going to ride down on the chariot of cloud. He's going to have his angel to blow the trumpet. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And those of us who remain will be caught up together to meet him in the middle of the air. I want to ask you one question. Do you want to see Jesus? If you want to see Jesus, let me see you stand on your feet and look at somebody and say, neighbor, you need to increase in your love. You need to abound in your love, because that's what God has done for you. And that's what you ought to do for somebody else. Let me ask you my question, and then I'm going to my seat. Ain't the Lord right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say, yeah!
The doors. The doors. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here today and you're not saved, come. Give the Lord your life. Give him your soul. Let him perform spiritual surgery on you to change you on the inside. Let him give you a heart of flesh, a heart that's soft, a heart that increases in space for his love. He prayed that the Lord increase them to increase in love. Secondly, if you're here and you're in need of a church home, come, come, come. New Bethlehem is a great place with great people. Come. Church membership is spiritual if the Lord is leading you here. Come. Thirdly, if you're here and you're backslidden, come. He will restore you. I close by telling you this. Jesus, in conversation with Peter in John 21, around verse 15, he asked him three times the same question. He says, "Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me?" Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I phileo you." He says, "Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me?" Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I phileo you." Jesus asks a third time, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter was hurt at the fact that the Lord asked him a third time if he loved him. And Peter's response was, "Lord, you know all things. You know I phileo you." What the Lord was saying to Peter is that, do you love me enough to go all the way? Peter then understand the type of love that the Lord was talking about until after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, and when he and others were in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came and indwelt them, Peter then understood the difference in philia and agape. Listen, so often we're hurt by people because they have a different idea, a different concept of love than what we are expecting. We're asking one type and they're responding with another. They're just using the word love, but it's not what we're seeking. That's the problem of the world, that there's a type of love of the world that's so unlike God. And so when God says, "Do you love me?" is our response, "Yes, Lord, I agape you. I'm willing to go all the way." Or is it, "Yes, Lord, I love you like a brother. I phileo you." It should be, "Lord, I agape you." See, circumstances and situations have come up just to show the depthness of your love. You really don't know if a person loves you until something comes about to test what they say. To test what they're saying. "You know, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. Man, you can depend on me." And you can't stand a little rain, a little lightning and thunder. What kind of love is that? The love that Paul is talking about is love that goes all the way. Are we loving God like that? Are we really loving God with hearts that's willing to go all the way? What are we willing to suffer for Christ's sake? Listen, if you're here and you're not saved, you can be saved today. If you're here and you're backslidden, you can be restored. If you're here in need of a church home, you can receive fellowship and family today. Come on, come on, come on, come on. None has come. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth and the power of your word that you have confronted us to, Lord, rid us of the selfishness that's so prevalent in our lives. Lord, we need space to increase in the love of Christ and to abound in his love, one toward another and unto all men. Lord, help us not be the reason why people don't receive you. But Lord, that through us, they can see just how much you care and love them, and will be drawn to you through the love that you flow through us. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Right before you go, Brother Jesse is coming with an announcement. Please be seated just for a minute, and then I'll give you a benediction.